Good morning. This is Wayne Greer, and this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate you listening in today, and thankful for the opportunity to be in the studio this morning here at WATA. It's good to see Dave Blanks. How are you, Dave?
Great, man. Good. I'm glad to see you today, too.
Yes, good to see you.
Yeah.
My wife's in the studio here today.
And y'all are color coordinated.
Yeah, we didn't plan it that way. It's just fall, I guess.
Yes, you did. It is definitely fall outside.
It is. Almost feels like winter time.
It's getting there.
There's a big black cloud coming over the mountain. It looked like it was just going to pour.
I saw that.
But anyway, it's good to be here today and sort of sad this morning. We've been up at the at Hamptons. We just come from the viewing for the Tony Green and was thinking about him. And we grew up together at Cove Creek Elementary School many years ago. And he was the oldest one in our class. And
so y'all were in the same class?
Yeah, we were in the same class.
Oh.
And I was the youngest one. And when I think about him, I always think about he was quite a character. You know, he sort of always reminded me, and he would imitate a lot of times Jerry Clower and
really
tell some of those stories and things. And also I think about they had a video pictures and things of that nature, and it was playing the song from the Toy Story.
You got a friend in me.
Man. And I was even thinking about that this morning, where the Bible says if a man would have friends, he must show himself friendly. And Tony was always friendly and friendly to me and everybody.
He was that.
And so we'll certainly miss him. And our prayers go out to his wife and especially his children and his brothers and sisters and mother and just everybody in their family. We're praying for him today, and we want him to know that. And we'll sure miss Tony. I always think about something he would say when he come on the gospel ship. He would say, call a friend, call a neighbor. And I think about that when I come on sometimes. That's a pretty good way to remind people to tune in and tell somebody else to tune in. So we'll get into the broadcast today, but I did want to say that our prayers are definitely going out for the Green family, and that they're in our thoughts today. I know it's a difficult thing, even though when somebody is saved and we know where they're at, it's still hard to lose people, and especially at a young age like that.
Is viewing still going on?
It's going on till 12,
I believe.
So.
At Hamptons.
So we've been up there. But today is October the 5th, and what I'm going to do is read just one verse that's going to sort of lead into what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the Christian's responsibility in voting. And I need to get this on the air now, because in less than a month now, Election Day will be here. And, of course, we want to encourage everybody to go out and vote. But I also want to use the Bible today and sort of bring about what the Bible even says, if it says anything about voting, and what we should do when it comes time to vote. Proverbs chapter 5, and I always encourage everybody to read a proverb a day. Today's the 5th, so if you're following along, you would have read Proverbs chapter 5 today. And I want to read verses 1 and 2. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And so Solomon is speaking to his children. He says, listen to what I've got to say in verse number 1. Attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion. And that word discretion, it literally means in the Hebrew language a plan. And it also had the word sagacity. Most people, myself included, probably couldn't come up with a real good definition of the word sagacity, but it means this: quickness or acuteness of discernment, of penetration, readiness of apprehension, the faculty of readily discerning and distinguishing ideas, and of separating truth from falsehood. And that is exactly what we need to do when we come down to vote. We need to be able to tell the difference between what's true and what's a falsehood. We need to be able to discern the faculty, to discern, to apprehend what the real issues are. The faculty of ready discerning and distinguishing ideas. You know, everything that everybody says pretty much sounds good when you listen to politicians and they say, vote for me, I'm going to do this, or vote for me, this is my idea. Well, of course, it's all sort of under the heading of advertising, and advertising has to appeal to people. And so what they're doing, they're advertising their ideas, their views, what they're going to do. And we that are the voters, we have to be able to discern and decide, you know, who's the best person to vote for? Who should I vote for? So I'm not here today trying to tell anybody who to vote for, but I do want to bring out some principles from God's Word on the subject of voting. And, of course, we need to have discernment. Myself, as a Christian, and I realize today, you know, that not everybody listening in would say I'm a Christian, but a lot of people are. But I think most everybody wants to do the right thing. And so this go along the lines of that as well. But as a Christian, I feel a very heavy responsibility to do the right thing according to, you know, what should I do according to the Bible? Or, you know, a few years ago, everybody had bracelets and Bible covers and bumper stickers that said WWJD. What would Jesus do? How would he decide? And I hope that most candidates would come along and say, you know, I feel like this is God's will, or I feel like the Lord wants me to do that. This, a lot of people would be that. But let me just share some things along those lines. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And that's talking about the believer. An ambassador is a representative. So as a Christian, I feel a responsibility as a representative of Christ. He doesn't vote, but he has given me a free will, and I have an opportunity to vote, and I have an opportunity to do good or to do bad. And so as I come to vote, I should be thinking and asking myself the question, how, as a representative of Christ, should I vote? Because an ambassador is literally that, a representative. And so no matter what I do in life, if I'm a preacher, if I'm a coach, if I'm a businessman, if I'm an employee, if I'm a consumer, if I'm a voter, whatever I am, if I'm a Christian, I have a responsibility to be a representative for Christ in this matter. And the word vote, I looked that up. I thought that was interesting. I'd never done that before.
I never thought about doing that either.
Yeah, what does the word vote mean, or where does it come from? It comes from a Latin word, votum, which is properly will or wish. A will or a wish, you know, I wish it was this way. Or it literally means a choice, a vote, and that's what it is. A vote is a choice. And so you won't find in the Bible voting per se, but all through the Bible you find choices. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar never ran for re-election. He was a tyrant. Pharaoh, you know, these guys, you're not going to find them politicking and voting for me and all that stuff. But you do find in the Bible many, many times where the people had a choice. They had literally a vote in the matter. Adam and Eve had a vote in the garden whether they would obey God or disobey God. And they voted, they chose with their free will to disobey God, and they reaped all of the consequences all with that. And the same thing goes for in all through the Bible. Noah's day, Lot's day, the children of Israel. I've talked about this on the radio broadcast before. 1 Samuel chapter number 8, they made a conscious decision, even against the advice of Samuel the prophet. They said, we want a king to rule over us. They were voting for a king. And God said, if you have a king, you'll be disappointed down the road. And Samuel came along and he said to the children of Israel, he said, if you desire to have a king, this and this and this and this is going to happen as a result of that. He'll tax your land. He'll take your children to fight wars. I can't remember all the things in 1 Samuel chapter number 8.
It wasn't good stuff.
It wasn't good stuff. He said, you know, he'll be oppressive. You'll give your living unto him. And so all of these things, Samuel said, you know, if you have a king, this is what's going to happen to you. But nevertheless, in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 19, the Bible said, but we will have a king over us. And so although God advised against it, they voted for it. and God gave them a king. So although you don't have voting in the Bible, you do have voting in the Bible. They voted. They chose. That was their will. That was their wish, that they would have a king to rule over them. And in Jesus' day, Luke chapter 19 and verse number 14, the children of Israel said, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" So that's talking about when Jesus was on trial and he was presented before the people. And they said, "We will not have him to rule over us. We don't want him." And so they rejected him. Now, the Bible says in Romans 13 and 1, it says the powers that be are ordained of God. And of course, I recognize that today. I realize that today. Barack Obama is not in the position of the president by accident. The powers that be are ordained of God. Same thing for George Bush, Bill Clinton, Reagan, Carter. I mean, go all the way back through. You know, God is in control of things, and he allows things. But that does not do away with the fact that we have a vote or a choice when we go to vote. When it comes election time, God, in his grace here in America, has given us the opportunity to vote and literally choose those who would rule over us. Now, it was not God's will that Israel be given a king, but that's what they wanted. And when they expressed their desire, God gave them what they voted for, and he gave them a king. And Saul turned out to be a bad king. He was a blessing for a little short while, but then later on he became, and I preached a series of messages on Saul one time, and I preached a message, "Saul the Enemy," because he literally became an enemy to God's people and a curse and not a blessing unto them. And so God rejected Saul, and God put David in to be the king, but it took a matter of 20 or 30 years for all that to be accomplished. It wasn't an easy thing to get out of. And so God does give a choice. And I want to go down through a list today. If I think about myself as a Christian, as a voter, and the responsibility that I have, if I am literally an ambassador or a representative of Christ in this world, then I would have to ask myself the question, how would Jesus vote? And like I say again, I'm not talking about who to vote for, but I'm just asking myself the question, how would Jesus determine who he would vote for? I guess that would be a better way to put it. And I've got about four things that I believe would be a good litmus test on how I believe the Lord would decide, or have us to decide, how to vote. And I'll just begin. Number one, I believe he would vote for the traditional family, the Lord Jesus in the Bible, and all through the Bible. I believe it would be right to say family-oriented. God gave the family. God made Adam and Eve, and he told them to go and be fruitful and multiply and all of these things. And we find through the Bible that God promotes the family. So first of all, when I look at a candidate, I'm going to look at somebody that is family-friendly, that is family-oriented, that is for keeping the traditional family together, a husband, a wife, children, the promotion of the parents, raising the family, family-oriented. And, of course, there's a lot of ads along those lines. People talk about being family men and family women. And it's important in our society, and it is ordained of God and has been since Genesis, since the very beginning of time. So, of course, I believe it goes without saying that God does not change. Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." So if he was pro-family in the past and he was pro-family during the days of his sojourn here, he's still pro-family today. So that's what I look for. And I look for somebody that's going to promote and be a friend to the family. And there are enemies to the family today. And I'll not spend much time on this because I've got to go on, but you don't have to look far to see those that are for the tearing down of the traditional family. And I know probably you might call it a cliche, but God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And so keeping the family together along those lines. But I've got to move on. Second of all, when I think about this subject, I believe he would vote for those who are still in favor of the death penalty. Now, that's a hot topic, you might say, and some people probably wouldn't understand my thoughts in saying that. But Genesis chapter 9 and verse number 6 says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he him." And it is not that God wants us to kill one another, and that's what some people would say. You know, one murder doesn't justify another. But on the contrary, God does not want us killing one another, and that's why the ultimate crime carries the ultimate penalty. And so when somebody goes out here and murders somebody else, they should not be put away. They should be literally, if we went by what the Bible says, they should be removed from society, never let back in society. And the Bible says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed." And the reason I mention that is that there are some judges who this is part of their platform. You know, we're going to do away with the death penalty. The death penalty is harsh, but also when somebody murders another person, that's harsh. And it ought to be removed from our society because it's been proven time and time again when they put somebody in prison that's murdered somebody else, they let them out, they go out and they do it again. And they do it many times to more than one person. And so that's what I would look for. I believe we need to look for people who are going to uphold the traditional family, people who are going to be in favor of keeping our society civil. And I say that in saying being in favor of the death penalty and being hard on crime. Number three, he would vote for keeping God in society. Now, this is something I talked about last week. I had Pastor Kevin Broyhill on here, and we were talking about the Christian flag at the Veterans Memorial in King, North Carolina. How would the Lord feel about that? I believe the Lord would be for keeping the flag there. Psalms 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." God is not for us wiping his remembrance or his presence from our society like so many are trying to do today. And a lot of people, they want God removed. You know, don't say the Pledge of Allegiance. Don't have "In God We Trust" on our money and in our history and in our side. And take the Ten Commandments down from the courthouses all across the land. And don't talk about creation in schools. And our society is trying their best to forget God, some people in our society. But the Bible says when we forget God, we are pretty much putting our signature on our own destruction. And I say this again, and Dave and I talked about it last week. You know, what if it was an atheist, or I believe you didn't say
I said a satanic flag.
Satanic flag. And I said, you know, if the people in King, if they'd been a satanic church down there and they'd fought in the war and they had raised the money and they had, you know, if that's what they wanted, I would say, you know, they've got the right to do that. And I may not go down there to the march that they had, you know, but I would still have to say that they would have the right to do that. And you have Christians in our society. It's just a part of our fabric of our society. And to erase that, to say, no, we don't want anybody to see that in a public manner, is just totally contrary to how our forefathers believed, to our society, right up until this very last generation that wants to get every vestige of God out of our society. We don't want no flags, Ten Commandments. You know, that's not going to help our society. That's not going to help our children to be a irreligious, non-religious, immoral, sort of like the people in Russia, the communists, who, by the way, their society failed years ago. It just does not work. God does not bless that. And so I look for somebody when I'm going to vote that is going to be a true Christian or a true patriot that recognizes the importance of God in our society, is not ashamed to pray, is not ashamed to say, you know, we need to look to God and we need his help, we need his favor. Our forefathers, I mean, when they came to when they came to decide on the Constitution, when the first government they set up after the Declaration of Independence, it was not working. They needed something stronger. They came back together and they fought and they fussed all summer long. And Benjamin Franklin, who by that time was a lot older, he came and he reminded them, and this is not a direct quote, but he said, basically, do we forget that we had met here just a few short years ago when the war was going on and we would pray every morning, and now we've spent all summer, we've wasted our time, we have failed to call on the God of heaven. And Benjamin Franklin wasn't even a born-again Christian, but he recognized the importance of God in government. He recognized if the Lord does not build the house, they labor in vain that build it, and he is the one that came and said, you know what we need to do? We need a chaplain to come and pray. We need to pray every morning. And from that time on, they began to make progress, and it was a short time after that that they came forth with the Constitution that we now have. And when I come on and talk about the blessings of liberty, the preamble says the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. But I look for somebody that's willing and not ashamed to keep God in our society. And then last of all this morning, and my time will quickly get gone, but I look for someone who is pro-life, not pro-choice, but pro-life. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, this is one of the commandments, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. An abortion in any stage is that exact thing. It is the taking of an innocent life. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. And it goes on down. And one of those things that the Lord hates is hands that shed innocent blood. And from my standpoint, and many, many others throughout this land, that is, abortion comes under that shedding of innocent blood. Since 1973, when Roe versus Wade came about, since that time, over 44 million babies have died by abortion. That is the population of North Carolina times three plus a few million more. I mean, it is just hard to imagine how many are not here that would have been here. They talk about Social Security, and once upon a time, there were so many workers for every person that was being supported in that, and they're worried now, you know, there's not enough in the workforce. Well, what happened to our workforce? We've literally, in this country, murdered a whole generation since 1973. 44 million people are not here who would have been here had it not been for abortion. And so I look for somebody that is pro-life and not ashamed of it. And there's a lot of people that are just as vehement. I mean, they are just as pro-choice as I am pro-life. I came in yesterday and I was watching a little bit of Glenn Beck, and it had a lady on there who was being interviewed in England. She was on the BBC, and she was talking about, they were talking about maybe a handicapped child. And the lady said, and I'm not going to imitate the British accent, but she basically said, if I had a child that was suffering, I'd be the first one to put a pillow over its head. And it just shocked. I mean, the person doing the interview and the other person in there. And she went on and talked, to some people, life is not precious. But to God's people, life is precious, because we realize where life comes from. We realize that every human is made in the image of God, and life is precious. And so I come today, and I'm just talking about this about a month before the election. It amazes me how many Christian people, how many people go to church who are registered exactly opposite than their Bible beliefs, than their doctrinal statement of their church. I mean, they live their life. There's a huge separation between sacred and secular. But as a child of God, there should be no separation between what is sacred and what is secular. Everything in the child of God's life ought to be sacred and ought to be looked at from a biblical point of view. And we should look at this thing not who do I want to vote for, or who did my grandpa, or how was he registered to vote? Who cares about that? What I care about is what the Bible says, what God says, and I want to promote what He would promote. And I realize a lot of times you're voting for the less of two evils, but that is four things that I always try to look at when I'm thinking about who will I vote for when it comes to election day. And it'll be here before we know it. And as a Christian, I can only promote the biblical viewpoint. And those are four things I wanted to share today. And I think every ambassador, every child of God has a responsibility to do the same things. And so I wanted to share that before election, because as I said, it'll be here before we know it. Now, just a quick update on last week's radio broadcast concerning the Christian flag. I talked with Brother Broyhill after that. They're still going to have the rally on October 23rd, which is a Saturday. And if you go to Christian Flag King on Facebook, you can find their webpage and what's going on with that. I'm going to try my best to go down on that Saturday. I'd like to go do that and be in support there. And they have veterans that are staying around the clock with a Christian flag that is being donated by the church there. I believe that's who gave it, but they're staying out there all the time. And that takes a lot of dedication to do that. Now, it's not as cold down there as it is up here, but still, spending the night out on the concrete and all of those things, that'd be tough. And so my prayers are with them as well. And so I wanted to give a quick update on that. And I want to say before we go off the air today that this radio broadcast is brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. And we have had quite a few visitors over the past several months that have came to the church because they've heard the radio broadcast and like what they hear and want to come be a part of it. So we appreciate, we invite you to come and be with us. We're located at 1128 Barrage Creek Road, which is just above the Willow Creek Golf Course if you're going out of Boone towards Banner Elk on 105. Go about 3 miles past the last red light there. Turn right on Barrage Creek Road. We'd love for you to come be with us. And our time's quickly come and gone today. Dave, I appreciate it. Good to have Kim in here, although she didn't say anything.
Thanks, Kim. You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATA Boone. Time for the news.